Hallelujah. Father, we're grateful. We love you. We want to honor you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for moving in our hearts. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for allowing us to see into your world, into your kingdom, into your heart. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to begin with some things that I saw yesterday about when we're praying. Just practical things. If you're praying for someone and they're being touched by the Holy Spirit, sometimes they just start praying themselves. Like, oh, praise God! Oh, praise God! Oh, praise God! Or they'll begin to pray in tongues because they're just being touched by God. But we need to help them to receive. Because if you're giving out, you can't take in. If you are talking, you cannot drink. Right? So if they're letting out, just do this. Okay, stop. Relax. Just receive. Tip your head back. Open your mouth. And just drink in. And then you'll see. But as long as they're giving out, they're stopping the flow. Amen. You want to pray with your eyes open. If you're in worship or you're in your prayer closet, it's okay. Close your eyes. But if you have someone standing in front of you and you are praying for them, keep your eyes open so that you can see what is happening. Sometimes people begin to manifest. It's our desire that they manifest the presence of God. But sometimes they're carrying demons and they don't even know it, and the demons begin to manifest. If your eyes are shut, you could get hurt. There was a little lady I was praying for, and I closed my eyes and I just put my hand on her like that, and I'm praying, Father, in the name of Jesus. And my eyes are shut. What I didn't know was that this woman had been abused by men. And she said, if another man ever puts his hand on me, if a man ever touches me, I'm gonna flatten him. I didn't know that. My eyes are shut. I'm praying. And she's going. Knocked me down. Slid me across the floor. Whoa! And I said, what was that? And she looked at me and said, don't you touch me. You ever put your hand on me again, I'll kill you. Oh. Okay. I No, if my eyes were open, I would have seen her when I touched her go, and I could have taken my hand off. Okay, I'm here to bless you. I'm not here to harm you. I want to release the love of Jesus for you. I could have stopped the whole thing if I just kept my eyes open. So when you're praying for people, I saw many people yesterday, on Sunday, praying like this, with their eyes shut. Oh, two times I saw demons manifest in people. And I just went over, I put my arm around the person praying, I just backed him up. Just back up. We're going to talk about demonic manifestations. We're going to talk about God's way to deliver someone. Not today. We don't have time to get into it today. But the church all over the world, it is totally crazy. It's totally not the heart of God. How we see the church trying to get people delivered. It's so easy. What we see happening. It's in the religious circle, and it's been brought down, and it's just the way the church does it. But I'm going to show you a better way. God's way. It's absolutely awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Where we need to go now. In order for us to be able to understand the scriptures. In order for us to be able to walk in the Spirit, to hear from God, to move with Him, to have Him flow freely through us, just as He did through Jesus. There's some basic things we need to understand. Oh, it took me many years to learn. And I'm going to give it all to you. Let's start with this. The first thing is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, pray that you be sanctified in spirit, soul, and body. You are three parts. You are a spirit person. You're a spirit man who has a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. And you're living in a body. Your body is your car. It's your bicycle. It's how we get around while we're on this earth. This is not me. This is just the vehicle that I am in. The real Tony is inside. I'm a spirit man. I'm a spirit man. I'm not a body. The body is gonna go. But I'll never go. I'm now eternal. You are eternal. You're going to live forever. Your spirit man will live forever. And because you're born again, your spirit will live forever with Jesus.
Amen.
If we don't understand we are three parts, then we won't understand the scriptures when they're talking about the different parts. Scripture talks about how we have already been saved. Scripture talks about how we are being saved. And Scripture talks about how we will be saved. If you don't understand which part God is talking about, it will bring big confusion in your life. You will think from some scriptures that you can lose your salvation. That as a born again Christian, you can actually sin enough to go to hell. There are whole denominations all around the world that believe that. Because they're looking at scriptures that talk about how our soul needs to be saved. And they think that it means he's talking about you, your eternal spirit man. No. When you receive eternal life, it's your spirit. Your spirit is born in heaven. Not your soul. Your spirit is born in heaven. You understand that? Let's look at some scriptures. In Ephesians. Oh, this is so good. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading it in verse 1. Says, and you he made alive. What you? Your spirit. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. When we're born into this world, our spirit is born in sin. We got that from Adam, right? We're born into this world a sinner. Our spirit has a sinning nature. It's our nature to sin. That's how we're born. He said, but you, your spirit, he made alive. He said, we once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. What is he saying? Before you became born again, before your spirit was born in heaven and came into your body, the real you, your spirit person, was dead, spiritually dead, in your sins. You couldn't hear from God. You were cut off from God. And you were being influenced by demons. And you didn't know it. You didn't know it. I didn't know it. But he says there are demons that control the lost people. They don't know it because their spirit is dead. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, verse 4. Even when we were dead in trespasses, even while you were still a sinner, he made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Already done. Jesus did the work 2,000 years ago. He did the work for anyone that would place faith in him to be saved. And the moment you place faith in him, that's when your spirit became born again in heaven, and your dead spirit crucified with Christ, gone. The old you, gone. Buried with Jesus, dead, gone, finished. Now you're a brand new creation. By grace. That means by the power of God, by the will of God, not by your works, not by your pleading, not by your praying, by your believing. He says, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, this is so good. Right now, your spirit is in your body, right here. Right now, your spirit is also seated in Christ in heaven. You are in two places right now. You are here in your body and you're in Christ in heaven. You say, I don't feel like it. Now, we do not live by feelings. We live by faith in what he says. He says, you, your spirit, the real you, is in heaven right now. Inside Christ, seated in there. Here's the good news. Jesus is also in you, becoming one with your spirit. You're in two places. Whoa. As you begin to see that, you begin to see that and receive it by faith. What does it mean to be seated in heavenly places with Christ? It means that everything in the spiritual realm, everything on earth, is now under your feet. It's by grace, which means it's not by your effort, not by your work, not because you fasted and prayed a long time, not because you begged God. It's by grace. He just did it for you. And you receive it by faith. And when the Holy Spirit sees the faith, now he releases the truth. So when you see the activity of demons and they start saying to you, who are you? What makes you think you can tell me to go? You're above them. You are above them. You rule over them in Christ. Hey! Yes! Amen. Hallelujah. He says, raise us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace
Salume wa saba anasema ili katika zamani zinazokuja au kuimarisha wingi wa neema yake.
It is in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit put you, your spirit, in Christ Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He put your spirit, the real you, in Christ. Now, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. It's already done. Your spirit is completely saved. Eternally saved. Nothing can change that. It's by the grace of God. By faith, you believed, and He released the grace. It's God who saved you. You cannot unsave you. If someone becomes your son, you cannot make him not your son. Even if he's not a good son, he'll always be your son. Even if we are not good Christians, we will always be his son. Because it's by grace, it's by his work. Your spirit has already been saved. Your spirit is sealed by the Holy Ghost, Scripture says. The Spirit of God wraps your spirit right up. And he seals you up. And nothing can touch your spirit. Your spirit cannot sin. Your soul can sin, and your body can sin. But the real you, your spirit, cannot sin. Your spirit is holy. What God wants us to do is to see ourselves like He sees us. He does not see you a sinner. He sees you the way He made you, a born-again holy man. Do you know? It says in Proverbs chapter 23 that the way we think, the way we see ourselves, that's what we're going to experience. As a man thinks, so his life goes. Are you struggling with sin? It's because you're seeing yourself as a sinner. God doesn't see you that way. He sees you as his son, as his daughter. He sees you as a Holy Spirit man. He sees you as filled with him. May our eyes be open to see ourselves the way God sees us. It doesn't matter how you feel. You may feel like the worst person there is. Some of the most greatest miracles I've ever seen have been when I felt like I could do nothing. I felt like I was a mess. I need help. How can I help someone else? But God doesn't see me that way. He sees me as anointed. He sees me as powerful. He sees my spirit man who he made in heaven and is now living in me. As I begin to see myself the way God sees me, the Spirit of God releases. The Spirit of God releases through my experience who he says that I am. For by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works, so nobody could ever boast, "Oh, look at what I did." No. It's all by grace. It's what God does. We just believe, that's our part. That's it. Look at the scripture. Go back. Where are we? Ephesians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. What does he talk about? Being saved. We just looked at the scripture that says we have been saved. Now he's talking about we who are in the process of being saved. What is he talking about? He's talking about your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Because when your spirit became born again, you still have the same old soul, the same old thinking, the same old emotions. Now he's saying, we need to get our soul saved. That is a process that goes on all the time we are Christians. He's not talking about eternal life. You have eternal life in your spirit. You are eternally saved. He's talking about getting our mind saved, getting our thinking saved. So we begin to think like Jesus Christ. So we begin to think like the Word of God says we really are. Powerful men and women of God. We need to be in the Word and let the Spirit of God renew our mind, renew our mind, renew our thinking. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a man of God. I'm a holy man. I'm an anointed man. I've got the glory of God inside of me. I've got the kingdom of heaven inside of me. That's who I am. That's what God says about me. That's what the Word says about me. I am an eternal created being. I will live forever in the glory of God. I talk to my mind. I tell my mind, I say, soul, you will shut up. I don't like your thinking. Your thinking is not scripture. Your thinking is not the truth. I say, soul, We're going to praise the Lord today. I got all kinds of problems in my life. And the thinking the devil wants to bring us is, how are you going to make it? How are you going to get through? What makes you think you can pray? What makes you think you can see a miracle? Who are you? You are nothing. I say, mind, I'm not receiving that lie. I'm who Jesus, I'm who the Word of God says I am. For me to live is Jesus Christ. Oh, that old man, he's dead, he's crucified. I still just got the memory of the way he used to think. But I talk to my mind. No, you're not thinking that way. Because that's a lie. The truth is, in this hand is the kingdom of heaven. The truth is, I'm bringing life to people that need it. That's the truth. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't matter if my life seems to be falling apart. No, that's not the truth. That's not my life. My life is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he has victory over everything. And for me, I'm going to walk in that victory. I'm going to walk in the victory. I'm going to defeat one devil after another by the power of the Holy Ghost who lives in me. This is how I talk. I go out and I talk to the air. I preach to the wind. Hey, this is who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm retraining my mind to think on things that are good and praiseworthy. To think on the truth. I'm not that old man anymore. I don't care if I feel like I am. My feelings lie. But the Word of God is true.
Amen.
The Word of God is true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Scripture also talks about, let's look at it, then we'll have all three covered. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? Okay. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, verse 14. I love this. Hebrews 10, 14. Praise God. Can you thank Him right now? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me truth. Come on, can you do that? I do that all the time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for letting me see truth. Come on, talk to Him. Fellowship with Him. He's living in you to fellowship with you, to bring you the truth. Can you say that? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening my eyes. Woo-hoo-hoo. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering, that's Jesus. He made one offering one time for all mankind. For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
How?
What is He saying? For by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He has made perfect forever your spirit. The real you, your spirit man, He has made him perfect forever by one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He says, and who are being sanctified. Now he talks about both salvations. The salvation of your spirit that's been perfectly finished. You can add nothing to it. And he's talking about the sanctification or the salvation of your soul that's happening. It's happening right now. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. He said, are they not, he's talking about angels, are they not ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for those who will in the future inherit salvation. Okay, there you got it. You've already been saved. Your spirit's already been saved. Your mind, will, and emotions are in the process of being saved. And the third part of you, your body, will yet be saved. What does that mean? You're going to get a new body. A glorified body. Just like the one Jesus had after he was resurrected. When Jesus comes back, you're going to get a new body. Whether you've gone ahead or you're still here, you're going to get a new body. You will be able to go from here to the other side of the world like that. You'll be able to walk right through a wall. You'll be able to eat if you want to, but you don't have to. Oh, you're going to have a glorified body that can never, never experience decay again. No more pain, made to last forever. Nobody can hurt you or harm you. That's yet to come. So there's the three sides of salvation. If we don't understand what the scripture we're reading is referring to, we can become very confused. In 1 John, he talks about if we're born again, we don't sin. He's talking about your spirit. And he also says in the same letter, if you say you don't sin, then you're a liar. That's going to confuse you unless you understand. Now he's talking about your soul and your body. Our body is stupid. Our body just goes with what it feels. Our soul directs our body. Your body just wants to sleep and eat and just enjoy relaxing. Your soul says, get up, we're gonna go. God's order is, our born again spirit is to control our soul, which controls our body. In James chapter 1, he says this. He says, when you open up the scriptures, it's like a mirror. He said, and if you go look in the mirror and you walk away and forget what you look like, then what good is it? Who's got long? Nobody's got long hair. Everybody's got short hair. Okay. What if you had long hair? Okay. I said to you, your hair is all messed up. Your hair is all messed up. Have any of you ever seen your face? Can you see your face? Your eyes? Your eyes aren't turned around. You can't see your face. So what do? You go to a mirror. Do you know what you're seeing? You're seeing a reflection of your face. You're not really seeing your face. You're seeing a reflection of your face. So if I say, your hair is all messed up, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the mirror and look in the mirror. James says, the only way you're going to know who God made you to be, the only way you're going to know what your spirit is really like, is to look in the mirror.
Amen.
You're not going to feel how your spirit is. Your emotions are not going to tell you. You can't think it on your own. You need to look in the mirror. When the Bible says, that's the mirror. When the Bible says, you're a holy man, the Bible says, you have the same anointing as Jesus. Your soul says, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Can't be. But that's not how you determine it. You look in the mirror. The mirror says, you're anointed. So what do? That's the grace of God. What do? By faith, I receive it. By faith, I believe it. And the Spirit of God releases the holiness of Jesus. Spirit of God releases His anointing. As you believe, based upon what the mirror is telling you. If I were to say to you, are you happy? And what about if you said this? Wait a minute, Tony. I'm going to go outside and I'm going to pray to God and ask Him if I am happy. Do you need to do that?
No.
Why? Because you instantly know the condition of your soul. What if I were to say, do you have pain in your body? And you said to me, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to pray to God and ask him if I have pain in my body. Would you do that? No! You know if you have pain in your body. You feel the pain. Right? But when it comes to your spirit, if I say, you're anointed, you have the power of God in you, nothing is impossible for you. If you try to figure that out, you'll never figure it out. You look at the mirror. If the Word of God says you are, you say, amen. I believe it. I receive it. I'm anointed. I am a man of God. And that's how we grow, brethren. That's how we grow. All growth, all transformation comes by the Holy Ghost. And he releases it as we believe. In the truth that we read in the mirror, not by what we feel, not by what our mind thinks. You cannot trust your thinking. You cannot lean on your own thinking. We lean on the Word. That's our mirror. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do something now. I have here American money. Okay. Now, I work, I have a job. I do construction work. And I work for this. I work for this money. And right now, by grace, none of you work for this. I make this available to anyone that wants it. I worked for it. I paid for it. And I make it available to anyone that wants it. This is by grace. Oh, some of you want it? Oh! Oh, some of you said, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it! Okay. None of you needed to do anything to get this. None of you need to do a thing. I make it totally available. By grace, for anyone that wants it, anyone that wants it. Oh. No. This is what happens in the church. By grace, God has made everything you need available to you. It's right here in the Spirit. It's Jesus paid for everything that you need. For the anointing, for holiness, for power, for sight in the spirit realm, for provision, for healing, everything you need. He's already done it for you. Jesus said, it's finished. I give it to you by grace. And what do we do in the church? Father, I want it. I want it. Oh, I want, I want, I want, I want, I need. Oh, Father, please, please bring me, give me. Father. And we cry out. And we beg God to give us what he's already given us. What is he waiting for?
ni ambacho mchungaji amefanya.
Someone
anahitaji mtu mmoja
to receive it.
Kwenda na kuchukua.
The church sits in our seats. And we cry out and we beg God, please come and do this. I want it. I want it. Why are there so few people that are moving in the power of the Holy Ghost? That are doing great exploits? Because we're still crying to God instead of just receiving. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the grace for me to pray for these people. Thank you for the grace to meet every need of my life. Thank you for the grace that says I never ever need to worry again. When a need comes in my life, you already saw it. You already met that need. And you have the answer right there in the spirit realm, waiting for me to receive it. When you receive something, what do? You say, thank you. That needs to become our number one prayer. We're crying and crying and crying, interceding for hour after hour, fasting and praying, to get God to do something. Listen to me. You're not going to get him to do anything. Because he's already done it. There's nothing that will ever come into your life that he has not already seen, because he's eternal. Before you were ever born, he saw your entire life. He saw every single crisis, every single need that comes into your life, that will ever come into your life. He saw it before you ever came into this world. And through Jesus Christ, he met the need. 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 And when you step into the day that need comes up, before you were ever born, he met it. By his grace. Not because you earned it. Not because you worked for it. Not because you cried and cried and cried, God, bring revival, God! I need revival, God! Because you believed. And you said, thank you. I receive it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You want revival? Here.
Sure.
Right here. There's a circle. There's a circle right here. You step inside this circle. There's revival here. The spirit of revival is right here. He lives in me. Everywhere I go, I bring revival. I'm not crying to God to come to do it. The reviver is living in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And when somebody steps inside, they're going to get touched. Not because of me, because of the grace of God. And I place faith in that grace. And I say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All of your need, Philippians says, all of your need, Philippians 4:19, all of your need has already been met according to the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. Not going to be. Not after you pray and fast. It's already been done. Waiting for you to receive. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is what sets people free. This is what releases the body of Christ to be who He made us to be. We gotta stop teaching people to beg God. But tell him about His grace. He's already taken care of you. Who's got the money? How many people in here? And you're all, I want it! 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 But only one received it. Let today be a change in your life. Let's repent. Let's change the way we think right now. No more begging God. That's old covenant. New covenant. Jesus came to bless you in every area of your life because of what Jesus did. Because He was the one-time sacrifice to pay the price for all of us to have life and have life abundantly. Let's receive. Forget about how your feelings feel. Forget about what your body says. Start talking to your body. I get up in the morning sometimes. It's like, you know what I do? I don't say, oh man, my back is so bad. This is what I do. I speak to you back in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to be in pain today. Oh no, the anointing is flowing all through me right now. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Oh yeah. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says, the Spirit of God, resurrection life in you will flow to your body as you believe. I speak to my body all the time. I speak to my mind. I'm training my mind to think like Jesus. You can do the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think we're probably out of time, aren't we? Are we out of time?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, wow. I have so much that I want to bring to you. So we're going to go out?
Yes, we have like 10 minutes.
Hmm?
And then you can. Yes.
Okay, because I want to very briefly tell them about what we're going to do, right?
Yes, we can tell them.
Okay. All right. We're going to go visit some homes. And we're going to bring the kingdom of heaven to those homes. And I can talk more about this later, but a few things that I've learned. Number one, don't bring your Bible. You've got the Word of God in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit in you. With us walking up with Bibles, it scares people. Do you know what the Jehovah Witnesses do? People see them coming. We're not Jehovah Witnesses. We bear witness of Jesus Christ. You're bringing Him inside of you. Number one, we accept people. We don't judge people. We don't judge where they're at, what they're doing. We don't do that. I tell you one thing that is above everything else is to bring the love of Jesus Christ to people. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, something like that. He said, I become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. So we go and we love them. And I usually tell people, hi, I'm a missionary. And we're going around praying for people that need help. And we see God do a lot of miracles. Is there something that you need God to do for you? You're not gonna find a house where there's no need. Everybody has need. I was on the island of Haiti, and we were out on the streets in the marketplace, and there was a lady weaving a basket, and I said to her, excuse me ma'am, could you tell me where the sick people are? She looked up at me and she said this, are you stupid? Look around you. Everybody is sick. Everybody is sick. Everybody you touch is going to be sick or have a need somewhere. And I knew that was God talking to me. Every house you go to, they're going to have a need. And we go there to love them, to bless them, to release blessings, to pray for the sick. And when they're touched, they say, do you know who did that? That was not me. That was Jesus who created you and loves you and has a great plan for your life. And then to watch people cry, watch them receive salvation, to watch the pain come out of their bodies, house after house after house after house. You can do it. And then you can train others to do it. And you will see the face of the church change in this whole area. You know how most people are not going to walk in this church. It's dark out there. Jesus said, you are light. Jesus said, you are the light. Where does the light belong? Light belongs in dark places so the people can see. We are the light. We keep waiting for them to come in the church. Jesus said go, and as you go, Don't worry about going into dark places. Maybe they're devil worshippers. It doesn't matter. Maybe they have leprosy. And you're thinking, Old Covenant, I can't touch him. The law says, but if I touch a leper, I'll die. What did Jesus say? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. The new covenant now. We're not afraid of sickness anymore. Sickness is afraid of us. Now, you see a leper, you put your hand on the leper. And you get them cleansed in the name of Jesus. You don't have to fear. If you feel fear coming from people, you release faith. It's not your fear. Demons are releasing fear. You don't have faith. You don't have fear. Your spirit has faith. Amen.
Amen.
So it's a fun time where all of us get to see God work through our hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay.
Bwana Yesu asifiwe sana. Hebu tumshangilie Bwana.